You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
The Fan, the Skins have won three straight games. Jay Gruden's tenure, the third time that's happened. They are 5-2 for the first time in 10 years. They will be in first place entering week 10 for the first time since 1999. That was almost 20 years ago. And a big reason for their successes, safety DJ Swearinger, who's playing at a Pro Bowl, perhaps even an all-pro level, his second two-interception game of the season yesterday. And he joins us in studio here at Redskins Park on Grant and Danny right now. DJ, first of all, congrats on the win.
Thank you.
Another huge effort for you.
Yes, sir.
Let's start with that first pick. Giants are marching, third drive of their game, and they're inside the 20 in a 7-0 lead you're trying to protect. Right. You drove them what looked like a slant by Beckham, made an athletic interception. Take us through that play, what you saw and how you reacted.
I knew in red zone that they probably would try to get the ball to Beckham. They ran the Steeler concept a lot. That's what we call this, the route that he ran.
Steeler?
Yeah, it's called Steeler 7.
Is that just an in route or what is that?
Yeah, it's when both wide receivers the slide in, the outside guy run the in route, and the tight end runs the outside.
Gotcha.
Seven route. But that was one of their favorite concepts. I just showed like I was in man. So
they thought you were in man, 100%,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. Yeah, they thought I was in man. So I just showed on the tight end like I was in man. So he would think we had man. He would think he had that throw. And I just came off on it a little early and just made a good play.
Well, it was a great play, and it was huge because they're driving at that point. I think maybe they found something or whatever it was. They were moving the football. Not only do you take points off the board in the red zone, but now give the offense a chance to drive down what would turn into a missed field goal. But yeah, Keeping them out of the end zone, I think, was massive there.
Yeah.
What was the plan this week? You guys, three straight weeks, mm-hmm, have shoved it on three really good running backs,
right,
have not managed to top the 40 yards in either any of these three games from these, mm-hmm, guys, holding these three running backs, McCaffrey, Elliott, now Barkley, under 100 yards rushing combined, right, over 3 weeks.
Right.
Was that the focus once again?
Yeah, most definitely. That was the focus. You know, those boys up front, you know, they told me early in the game, don't worry, we're going to handle 26, man. Make sure y'all handle the back end. And you know, that's something they've been doing every week. You know, Big Matt told me that. You know, Big Payne, Big Allen, you know, they always say, you know, we got to run, man. Y'all boys do y'all thing in the back. So with those guys up front, man, along with Mace and Zach, you know, there was Kerrigan and P. You know, all seven of those guys was making big plays. And I didn't even have to make a play in the run game, you know, at strong safety. And that's, you know, that's impressive.
DJ Swearinger intercepted two passes and broke up three others. Three defended passes in a game is ridiculous, let alone in a game where you pick off two others.
Mm-hmm.
I want to go to the other interception, though. I don't know what Eli Manning was doing on that play. I don't think you do either.
Yeah, I think he was being disrespectful.
You.
I appreciate it, though.
Was he disrespectful to you or
yeah,
to his fan base or who?
Very disrespectful to me to just throw that ball up there like that. Like he didn't watch film last week.
Like he didn't know that maybe you can still move at a decent pace.
Yeah.
Did you think about fair catching that? When was the last time
you
fielded a punt?
I was trying to figure out if I was going to go up and get it, but I'm like, man, I'm not even going to even waste my time. I'm going to just catch this like
fair
a punt.
Fair catch this thing. Yeah.
Was that the easiest pick of your career, or have you had another one like that?
That might have been the easiest one, you know. That most definitely. You know, even though it was a sideline play, you know, a lot of safeties don't make that play because I was about 35 yards deep. A lot of safeties wouldn't be that deep. and he threw it a long way. So it was sort of a kind of easy to play. It was kind of a smart play, I would say.
A lot of debate in New York about the offensive line versus Eli Manning. I think both are bad. But when you watch Eli on film right now, does he still make winning football plays? Is that a guy that you go, oh, man, we got to deal with Eli today?
I think he still can, you know, if he gets comfortable. He still can if he gets comfortable, but he hasn't had the chance to get comfortable yet. I seen him on two-minute drives on film, watching him on film. He does make some good throws, but it's not consistent because his offense, I guess he doesn't trust his offensive line, and he looks at the rush a lot. So I think he still has the potential, but the offensive line they are horrible.
Yeah, that debate over what's worse, the offensive line or Eli Manning, I'm not attractive, and I'm also overweight. Both can be true. You see what I'm saying? Like, there's no win there. It's all bad.
I do like the idea. You said they're O-line. Yeah, they're pretty horrible. Yeah. Like, you guys had 7 sacks. I feel great about that. But how many would me and Danny and Dar and Hoffman have had, do you think? One? Could we have gotten 1.5?
Yeah,
we did a little TE game up front. Can we get home?
Got you a little TE game, man. Maybe you'd have made some noise.
But this is what I want to ask you about that, because we tried to figure this out all this past week, and I wonder how much got to you guys. In Vegas, which doesn't mean squat, obviously. We all know that fantasy numbers, those things don't affect you guys. You got a job to do. But the Giants were favored.
Man, in that 58%.
Game. And then ESPN had these analytics somehow. Some number cruncher came up with they were going to win 60% of the time. We spent all last week trying to figure it out, okay? I don't get it. I don't know what they saw that said that, because I saw the same offensive line you did. I saw the same ability for you guys to be able to do what you did. Did that get to you? Were you aware of that? And how did you treat it? Did you treat it as disrespect?
Yeah. I told my guys on Wednesday, they still got us 58% chance losing. Like, they disrespecting us, you know, to a team that's 1-7. You know, like I tell you, we have no respect no matter what we do until we win around here. We won't get the respect, you know. So I just told those guys, you know, we all we got, we all we need. You know, it's us against the world, you know. So we took that to heart and we came out and showed it.
You also felt like maybe personally you had gotten disrespected. I saw where Pro Football Focus ranked the best safeties in the National Football League, and they have you as the highest graded safety through 7 games in 8 weeks now. I think HaHa Clinton Dix is second, but they posted his picture instead of yours on the highest rated safety board.
Right.
You didn't take very well to that, did you?
No, not at all. Not at all, man, because, you know, every week, you know, I see it. Every week they have the top guy, and no matter what position it is, they always have the top guy's picture. And, you know, it just... You know, it's just a full sign of disrespect. You know, it's nothing more, nothing less about that. You know, when you have somebody's picture up there for 8 weeks straight, but then finally with Mr. Two Spoons is the number one guy, you put the number two guy up, man, that's total disrespect. And I told him about it, and I just wanted to make them know that I will make them feel me the next game and for the rest of the year.
Do you think it's like a Swearinger thing, either, you know, bad boy, hit people, whatever it is, or do you think it's a Redskins thing? You know, apparently Matt Ioannidis earlier in the season didn't get his picture either.
I feel like it's both. Feel like it's both, because I feel like I've seen it in the past with Sheriff and Matt as well. I think I've seen it with Matt last year with Aaron Donald. He was neck and neck every week with Aaron Donald. I seen Sheriff was neck and neck with some guy from the Steelers. And they didn't put it up, so I guess it is a Redskins, you know, thing.
But you saw it this week, right? They listed number one, DJ Swearinger, the highest grade, and then 2 through 5 is sorry, DJ.
Yeah.
Does that make amends? Does that make up for it or no?
It doesn't make up for it at all. At all, man.
I love it.
Yeah, not at all, man. It's just like, you know, don't play cry wolf with me, you know. Just, you know, be 100. Keep it all the way real.
What's the feeling after that game? Because you said it. You guys beat a 1-6 team. They're now 1-7.
Mm-hmm.
If you are the kind of team you guys believe you are and want to be this year, of course you should go do that, right?
Right.
What was the feeling post game? Was it just, hey, we got a monkey off our back here, beating a team we haven't beaten in a while in that building? Mm-hmm. Just give me kind of the vibe.
It was a vibe. Well, my vibe was like, man, we were supposed to blow these guys out. You know, why do we make this game harder than what it is? Again, on defense, why do we not make the plays at the end of the game to make this a game that it doesn't even supposed to be close, or vice versa on the other side. But, you know, we got the W. That's all that matters. And I mean, I see it as a good way that we can always improve and get better. We don't want to hit our peak yet. So I see that as a positive, and see it as some things that we can work on to get better in the future.
DJ, I'm going to throw a couple thoughts at you, and I just want to get your reaction. Not the best way to ask a question generally. But this week you got Matt Ryan, who's playing at an MVP level.
Right.
You got the Falcons. Ryan is a better quarterback than you played the last few weeks. The Falcons are a much more lethal offense than you've played in terms of the weapons.
Right.
I also think you guys are built right now to stop the run and to play kind of physical football teams.
Yes.
I don't like you matching up as well against kind of spread you out and sling it, particularly without Dunny and some of the things you have going on right now.
Yeah.
You tell me where I'm wrong when you say, hey, that's disrespectful or what have you, because I don't worry about you beating the Falcons, but I worry defensively for the first time in weeks about the matchup. Does that make any sense?
Yes, I totally get what you're saying. This is the best wide receiving core we'll face all year. Best overall offense, I feel like, for sure, that we'll face. We definitely got our hands full. We definitely need to get Dunny back, you know, regardless, we need to get Dunny back. They have three number one receivers on their team. So we definitely got our hands full matchup wise. You know, I feel like we can do some things in the film room to help us eliminate those, you know, big names though. Film study can take you a long way, you know, regardless of what position you in. So if we study the film and you know, just understand what they like to do with each of those guys, you know, we can eliminate a lot of the, you know, the hype.
You've been tight with Josh Norman since high school. I mean, you've known him for a while, right?
Yeah, I've known him for a while.
Why is it on a day like yesterday where you don't have Dunbar that he's not just following Odell Beckham Jr. from day one, from play one? Greg Stroman, he's coming on, but he's a seventh-round rookie.
Right.
Why is he on an island with one of the great receivers on the planet when you got a guy like Norman on the other side of the field?
I don't know, man. I can't even comment on that. You know, all I know is.
Am I crazy for saying he should follow Beckham?
Nah, you're not crazy at all. You know, ever since I've been in the league, on every team I've been on, you know, the top guy always traveled. J. Joe traveled in Houston. Pat traveled in AZ.
Did travel with the Texans.
Jonathan Joseph?
Joseph.
My rookie year, he traveled.
Okay.
Not the second year when we got O'Brien, he didn't, but my first year with Kubiak, he traveled. Pat traveled. You know, all I remember from my coaches my rookie year is him saying, DJ, why are you leaning on J. Joe's side? You know, we pay him the money to make plays, you know, so lean somewhere else. So, ever since my rookie year, that's always been in my head by the top corner. The top corner is, you know, every weekend that we got, you know, should have the best, you know, best guy. If I'm a corner, I'm going to take the best guy regardless of what anybody says. When we play certain tight ends, I'm going to take that tight end. There's no question. You know, so I don't know. We just have to figure it out.
That all makes sense. Yeah, that all makes sense to me. DJ, this was awesome. Great win. Good to get that that bad streak out of there. You guys hadn't won up there in a while, so that was awesome. 5-2, dude. 5-2. You'll be in first place in week 10 no matter what happens next week, which is pretty awesome, man. Congrats.
Yes, sir.
Is the Pro Bowl in Hawaii or Orlando this year?
I don't even know, man.
You're going to be one of them.
You should look it up.
Start making your plans.
Get on like Expedia right now. Grab a hotel room or something.
Yeah,
you think he's paying for his own hotel, guy?
Well, I'm just saying. You could book it and then get reimbursed. I don't know how it works. I'm sure I know how it works, by the way.
Thanks,
DJ. Because I've been to so many Pro Bowls.
You know,
Grant and Danny on the Fan. Who else on the Redskins is playing at a Pro Bowl level other than Swearinger? We'll hit on that next right here on G&D. Is DJ Swearinger on this show? He joins us at 11 each and every Monday. Phenomenal. And talking about Josh Norman covering Odell Beckham Jr. exclusively after Greg Stroman got beat down the field. Also about his Pro Football Focus grades and the Redskins not getting any respect at 5-2. You're going to grab that podcast after the show today. grantanddanny.com/audio. We'll post it right about 2 o'clock. We mentioned that he's playing at a Pro Bowl level. He might be the best safety in the conference right now. Of course, the Redskins haven't had an All-Pro since 1996, and halfway through the year, he is at least in that conversation. Danny, who else is playing at a Pro Bowl level? Last night, I kind of jotted some names down. What I came up with was Swearinger, who it sounds like we agree on.
Yes.
Jonathan Allen, to me, is playing at a Pro Bowl level. In on that, out on that?
In on that, 100%.
Okay.
100% in on that, absolutely.
I think Adrian Peterson, if his season continues, he'd rush for 1,300-plus yards, he'd make the Pro Bowl.
He would absolutely be there.
Nine rushing touchdowns.
Yeah, maybe a couple more through the air all of a sudden, that's a thing.
The only other guy that I would advocate for is Tressway. 17 times he's pinned people inside the 20 without a touchback. But in the running, I would say Matt Ioannidis.
Ioannidis, 5.5 sacks with 8 quarterback hits, second on the team. He's absolutely there.
If you're a down defensive lineman and you get 11 sacks, which he's on pace for more than that because they're not halfway through their season yet, you should unequivocally be in the Pro Bowl. Daron Payne's played brilliantly because he's a rookie, because the counting stats may not be
there.
Yeah,
he won't get the credit.
He probably won't get into the Pro Bowl, but I think all those guys are in the conversation. Anybody we're forgetting?
I think that's my list. I mean, listen, Aaron Donald has broken the game in terms of interior pass rush. So now the expectation is a defensive tackle. Probably needs 15 sacks because that's what Donald's basically on pace for at this point. But Ioannidis, for the regular folk, if you're approaching double-digit sacks as an interior defensive lineman with guys every play rushing from outside of you, that's ridiculous. His run stuffing, his tackles for loss, the penetration he's getting, and it's not always about speed. It's about the brutal power and how disruptive he is to offenses. He should be a Pro Bowler, and I'm with you on Allen as well.
In terms of statistical performance, because sometimes I think you could do a lot of things at that position at D-tackle, and you don't get numbers. As an example, I thought John Allen yesterday was sensational again. He had 3 tackles, 1 sack, 1 tackle for loss, 1 quarterback hit. I mean, that is a really good game, but that's the kind of game a lot of guys will have a few times a year. What Matt Ioannidis did statistically yesterday, I'm not sure I've ever seen that dominant a defensive line performance by any player, certainly since the Redskins went to 3-4 in 2010 under Shanahan and Haslett. He made 5 tackles. He had 2.5 sacks for a loss of 16 yards. He had 2 TFLs in the running game. He had 4 quarterback hits. In terms of just stuffing the stat sheet,
yes.
Understand quarterback hits and sacks are not the same. This is times where he hits Eli Manning and gets him to the ground in addition to the 2.5 times he sacked him. So he basically contacted him to the ground on 7 different plays on 47 pass attempts yesterday.
Unbelievable. And I think there was one other of the sacks that he, I don't want to say he created, but he was vital in creating, if that makes sense. Didn't allow for Manning to kind of step up and avoid an edge rusher. I mean, Preston Smith is the king of almost sacks at this point, and he created one as well where he got a hand on Manning, and that, of course, caused him to panic, and then he ended up going into somebody else. But right now, this defensive front, this is the ideal recipe. The Carolina Panthers got to a Super Bowl doing this. The Giants have done this twice going to a Super Bowl. If you can rush 4 and cover with everybody else, and you can create pressure, you can win football games.
And this is why I give this team a chance to keep winning. Because I watch the offense, and it's anemic at times, and it's pedestrian when it's at its best. And I think this is not sustainable. You cannot keep winning. You can't do this. Points cannot be scored frequently enough when you're this run dominant and you're this unable to stretch the field. That's why they've averaged 16.5 the last 2 weeks. However, the great equalizer is a defensive line that eats quarterbacks for lunch. Because here's the example. Sunday, they play the Falcons. I have great reservations about this matchup defensively. I worry about Greg Stroman having to defend a really good wide receiver. And to that extent, Fabian Moreau in the slot having to defend one of the better receivers inside maybe in football when they flex Julio Jones in, which they love to do to get matchups. They'll move them all over the formation. The problem with just saying, though, the Redskins are in trouble is it takes no time for Matt Ioannidis to sling an offensive lineman to the ground and get by. John Allen, Daron Payne, this is not asking for Ryan Kerrigan to get around the edge or Preston Smith to develop a pass rush. It's quicker when it comes from the interior. That's the opportunity they've got to continue to play at the level that they are right now defensively.
Yeah, it's my new obsession.
They haven't had this D-line in years. You and I have been begging for this.
Yes.
begging for this since, I think since we saw like Denver with Malik Jackson and company go all the way to the Super Bowl. But this has been the tried and true way to do it for years and years.
And it's now, it's no longer to me necessarily about the quote outside pass rushers. It obviously helps to have those guys without question. It does. To me, because passing offenses have gotten so quick, everything is so short, everything's about timing, everything's one, two, three balls out. Interior pressure now is the thing. That's how defense happens in this league. It's disruptive interior pressure. Teams are getting away from the run more and more, and running backs are turning into pass catchers at such a high level. So everything gets out quickly. If you don't let that quarterback step up, then your outside guys can get home. If you force bad down and distance, then those guys can run free. And this group is doing it. And that triumvirate, that threesome, Allen, Payne and Ioannidis are as good as anybody in football right now.
Before Adrian Peterson made the 26 look good out of the Redskins' backfield, Clinton Portis wore that number in D.C.
He did
for
just fine.
Seven prolific seasons. He will join us next on Grant and Danny to break down another win for Washington, the running game, closing the game out in the fourth quarter, and how to get this passing game going next on The Fan.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Grant and Danny welcoming you back on a Victory Monday and a Birthday Monday for one of our producers, Tom Daly. Happy birthday, Tommy. The Redskins have won three straight, third time under Jay Gruden. They're 5-2, first time since 2008. Clinton Portis was in the nation's capital on that 2008 Redskins team that started the year 6-2. He joins us right now in studio here at Redskins Park, where we are broadcasting live on Victory Monday. Clinton, that year you rushed for 1,487 yards, year one under Jim Zorn. You believe the Skins have not been 5-2 since then?
Yeah, I can. I think it was that era. Someone ruined the organization, and it took a minute to recover. You know, for Jay Gruden to put this team back in that situation, though, at 5-2, 6-2, you felt great about your playoff chances. But if you go back to 08, we saw how quickly that can disappear. So hopefully it doesn't disappear. I think everyone here likes Jay. I think the players like Jay. So I look forward to them winning.
Well, because I'm not good at a guessing game, are you saying Shanahan or Zorn? Who's the someone?
Well, Shanahan wasn't here.
Okay, Zorn.
So, hey, Shanahan wasn't here. So it was one individual ruined a 6-2 start. Let pride get in the way, you know, but crap happens, man. Right now we're 5-2. Jay Gruden doing a great job. I think the team is playing for him. I mean, you look at this D-line, these young guys, Ioannidis, Payne, Allen. I'm impressed with Ioannidis. Not only am I impressed with his play on the field, I'm impressed with his dance move. His sack celebration is awesome.
The floss.
The floss. Yeah. He's the floss boss now. So I'm excited. Swearinger playing at a high level. I heard you all speaking of him for all pro nominations. And I mean, I think it's well deserved. And the thing that goes overlooked with Swearinger is the fact that this is something you needed. And no one will give him credit for coming to change this defense, for bringing that flavor and flair back to this defense that has been missing for so long. You know, you look at the guys up front, and you want to get the credit to them. But Swearinger over the last 2 years, I think, has began to bring an attitude that was missing. Now you added players around him that's used to that firepower, and they're playing great on defense as a whole, because everyone else is buying into it.
They've been excellent against the run. This defense has been excellent. Three straight weeks, the number one rushing attack in the NFL. McCaffrey, 30-some yards. We know what Zeke can do, 30-some yards. This week, Barkley, a world beater, 30 yards. They've been unbelievable. And overall this year, they haven't allowed really a 20-yard rush. What are they doing that's so much different than last year? Because last year, not hyperbole, they were among the worst in the NFL, Clint.
Well, last year, I think their lineman average age was about 41 or 42. This year, I think it's about 21 or 22. And you actually have some guys that's used to winning. You know, you got these guys coming from Alabama that's used to winning, that's used to playing at a high level that has raised everyone's play. You know, you look at the guys that we normally count on haven't even been the guys that's been giving us the biggest contribution. You haven't had much from Kerrigan or Preston Smith or Zach Brown. You know, those guys haven't even got started yet. It's the young guys that's catching fire and making everyone believe. So when you look at the secondary, you're still waiting on Monte Nicholson to come around. But Swearinger in the communication is better. Josh Norman, after all the criticism, all of a sudden he woke back up and he's playing at a high level. So when you get guys to begin to buy into it, that guys lose egos, that guys that want to win and realize how special you can be, because for years you keep hearing, well, we have the talent, we have the talent, we have the talent. But from what you watch in the production that was coming out of it, you're like, no, you don't have the talent. Now when you hear someone say, well, we have the talent, only thing they're missing, a rush in, a dominant rush in. You know, hopefully Dunny is okay. But I think Dunny was a great, you know, Dunny had been playing great up until this point. You know, Nicholson still being young, you get him into the position to alleviate the mistakes. I mean, I think you got a legit defense that you can keep around.
The most exciting 64-yard touchdown run since Clinton Portis's first ever carry with the Washington Redskins was Adrian Peterson's rumble to put the game on ice yesterday. We were talking about that play. You had a bunch of observations about it. Take us through it. What was the call? Why was it perfect, and why did it work?
Well, it was a great call. And if you look at the blocks, you know, you look at Sheriff Block getting him down. But I think the biggest point is AP. You know, if you start that run off, you look at AP, where we've been excited about his jump cut, or him coming to a complete stop in the hole and then picking back up to you know, going from 0 to 40. If you look at this run, his course never changes. From start to finish, there's no jump cut. It's straight downhill power play off tackle, two players pulling. Sheriff gets a great block. The receivers are blocking great on the outside. If you look at AP, from his drop step to the end zone, it's the same course. He didn't have to change. He didn't have to move. He didn't have to redirect. It was one course. It's like almost drawing a little bow. It's not a straight line, because there's no straight line in football. But if you were to go from the high, you know, the sky view, and it's like drawing a little bow. And that's perfect for a running back, because you're downhill. You could look and tell the Giants defenders wanted no parts of AP downhill full speed. No one wanted to get in the way. You're thinking the one guy who had an opportunity to make a tackle, he's reaching for AP towel. I guess he wanted a memorabilia, like an autograph. But he's not attempting to lay his body on the line and say, you know what, let me take his legs from under him, because that guy could have made the play.
What did you like from the passing game? Because there were a couple things that I liked. Getting Reed involved early, I think that opens up everything else. I actually liked what I saw from Doxson in this one, a couple tough catches in traffic for first downs.
Well, that's it. Getting all of those guys involved early. As you've seen, Paul Richardson having a big catch. You get Jordan Reed involved. You get Doxson involved. When you get guys involved in the passing game early, then all of a sudden they're eager to make a play. It's like, okay, I'm a part of this game, and I want to be in this game. I want to make a play. When you wait to the second half to give a guy his first attempt, he's already at the hell with this, you know, like, and your morale is different. So you look at Doxson, I think he's coming along, because he made, you know, you go back to last week, the PI, this week, the tough catch in traffic.
A couple of them,
Big plays. So it's not highlight worthy, but they're coming at critical times where I think it's more of establishing trust. You know, hey, we trust you. We need you to make this play at this moment, and the ball is coming to you, and he's making it. And when you start making those plays, you begin to have the game. If you go back to last year, the New Orleans game, you know, you go back to some of his better games that he's had here. It's not going to be – it's going to be hard to get 100 receiving yards here. It's just going to be hard.
Yeah, right.
You know,
sure,
Paul
sure.
Richardson is your big playmaker. Maybe he end up with 70 or 80 yards. Jordan Reed, 70 or 80 yards. But if you can get all these guys that's having 40 to 80 yards and you got five receivers, that's a pretty good day, along with adding Chris Thompson and AP.
Clinton Portis on Grant and Danny here on The Fan. Doxson, five catches on five targets. Sunday, three catches, three targets a week ago, so eight for his last eight. He can only catch the balls thrown to him, to Portis's point. Does Clinton think this is a sustainable way for the Redskins to try to go win a division? If they continue to play the exact same way as the schedule continues, will they continue to stockpile victories? We'll ask him that next on Grant and Danny here on The Fan. Minutes from now, we'll give you a Beltway Blitz at noon. Jam-pack some information on all the teams in town you care about in one segment. Just after that, less than 30 minutes away, at about 12:18 or so, our buddy Charles Davis, who was on the call, Fox NFL Sunday, broadcasting the Redskins game yesterday. We'll get his analysis and insight on a victory Monday from Redskins Park. Clinton Portis is in studio. It's funny, I've had a couple people tell me that they wanted us to lead Clinton in a Jim Zorn hip hip hooray chant.
I wish in the hell they would.
Were you a big fan of that, though, when you guys would do hip hip hooray in the locker room?
I don't think I ever participated.
Really?
That might have been part of his beef with me.
Because you didn't do hip hip hooray?
I wish I would.
He didn't have a beef with you. You ran for almost 1,500 yards. How could he have had a beef with you?
I probably should have ran for almost 2,000 that year.
It didn't work out, though?
He was trying to hold me back. You know what? Honestly, through that stretch, I think I had a three-week stretch. Pittsburgh, bye week, Dallas, Baltimore, where I didn't even have 100 yards total over 4 weeks.
Really? In 2008?
Yeah. 2008. I think I had a four-week stretch where maybe I had 100 yards total.
All right. I'm looking it up right now.
Yeah, I'm looking it up,
51
too.
Yards against Pittsburgh, then a bye week, then 68 yards against the Cowboys. Then you went for a buck 40 against Seattle, but then you went for 22 and 32, two straight games.
See what I'm saying? The 22 and 32, what was that, Baltimore and who?
Giants.
And the Giants.
Yeah, I wasn't even a part of the game plan.
You had 11 carries in each of those two games. How did you have 13 carries against the Steelers, and then you had 11 against the Giants and 11 against the Ravens?
If you look at those 13 carries, like if you went through the play-by, those 13 carries, 11 of them came before halftime. In the second half, I think maybe I had two carries. Then we go on bye week. Came back against Dallas. I wasn't a huge part of the game plan. I was starting to get like three carries a quarter or something. Like, how can I be involved in the game? And I was leading the NFL in rushing at that time. And his thing was, I want to see you practice more. That's what he said to me. He said, I want to see you practice more.
By the way, Jay Gruden is telling Adrian Peterson not to practice on
Wednesday. Please don't practice on Wednesday.
Huge difference. Jay Gruden has a team that believes in him, that's playing for him. Jim Zorn had a team that shut down on him.
Okay, but ready? Hip, hip. Hip, hip.
See, there's a part where you're supposed to say something. Are you not going to do it?
Finish it.
The same thing I said in the locker room. What the hell are we doing this for?
Did you really not participate?
Oh, that's great.
Oh, that's so funny.
Because I wouldn't either, probably. Now, not that I'm an NFL player.
It's a little bit too cheesy.
It's too much.
You know, but you just won.
What is that going to do for you? What kind of morale does that make you say, oh, I'm about to go jump through this window. Oh, I'm about to give it to them today. Like, I'm like, what the? I'm grown.
It's so cool.
I don't even play that kind of game with my child.
You should grab. Yeah, that's what you should do with your kid. Is go hip hip. Your kid might say hooray.
I hope my kid slap me. He should. He should just haul off and pop slap one of my teeth.
But you know what's funny? A lot of dudes bought it. A lot of dudes were doing it.
Yeah, and that's how the locker room got divided, because those dudes that was doing it, you sitting as a grown man, you sitting up here talking about hip and throwing it up. Like, are you kidding me? Everybody needed to be taking a sip. That's what needed to be going on.
That's amazing.
That's what needed to be going on. Everybody needed to be taking a sip at that time.
Hip, hooray. Oh, man. That's so funny. That's what divided the locker room. Clinton looked around and said, okay, who's playing
along
with
this? Let's take inventory.
Yeah. Whoever's playing along with this.
Who are the kiss asses?
Can't go to battle with this guy.
I'm not trusting him in the foxhole.
Who wants more playing time? Let's see who's saying hooray.
Oh, that's incredible. What a fun little trip down memory lane. Do you think the Redskins can keep winning this way? If I was to tell you right now, this is what their passing game's going to be, that they don't get to a point where they're scoring more points on offense by stretching the field vertically. Can they keep this up? Can they eventually beat good teams? Like the New Orleans is when they face them. And it's not on the schedule, but if they got to a playoff game, could they win a game this way?
Well, they're 5-2 against the good teams. And I think at this back half of the schedule, it actually finally lightens up, because week in, week out, you've had some teams come in that's been pretty good and some pretty good players. So to me, this formula can win for the simple fact the season is about to change. When the season changes and the ball becomes slippery and the conditions change, it gets tough, most teams are going to have to figure out a winning formula. Most teams are going to have to switch from aerial assault to nasty games, to let's figure out how to run the ball, how to protect the ball, and play good defense. When we get to that part of the season, we're going to be 8, 10, 12 games in, because that's our regular offense.
That's right.
That's our regular offense. So when we're running like a fine-tuned machine, because we're used to this, we're used to nastiness, we're used to sloppy games, we're used to not having 500 yards of total offense, but allowing our defense to go out and control the clock, secure the ball, we're going to be great at that by the time everyone else begins to adjust. So although we've been winning games and it hasn't been pretty offensively, when it comes to the sloppy time of year, I think we're going to have the perfect offense for it, because Alex Smith refused to turn the ball over. His mindset is not allowing him to take chances that's going to put us at risk or put this defense in a short field. I think Alex Smith has accepted in his mind, you know what? It's hard to drive 80 yards or 70 yards against our defense. If we could just let Tressway flip the field, because he's been doing a great job punting, if we can let Tressway flip the field and we live to fight another day, things will work out for us in the end.
Quick one before we let you jump. If you could get in Jay Gruden's ear about something on offense, like, dude, you've got to do more of blank, what would you tell him?
I think you take more shots. Paul Richardson has shown you flashes of why they brought him here. Mm-hmm. And just taking those shots. Once you get Crowder and Doxson back, you know, I know it's hard to see everything because you haven't had everyone at the same time. But when you start taking shots up the seam, like you always see Jordan Reed on crossing routes or underneath, send Jordan Reed up the seam. You know, give him an easy layup. If you see two high safeties, hey, bend. You know, you're running into cover two, bend it in and drop it in the breadbasket. Let him run up the seam, because that's a hard cover for any linebacker. And once you start taking those shots and you start making plays down the field, 20, 30 yards down the field, you're going to be a tackle away from a big play. Yeah. Like, all our drives come 10-play drive, 11-play drive.
It's hard to do.
Yeah, it's hard. And you're winning with that formula because you're staying above in the down and distance. But the moment that you get off schedule or we get a penalty or something happen, it's a punt. Like, the punt team has to come out because we never recover. So I would say take more shots to get bigger plays. And you can take safe shots. You know, even going down the sideline, you can run a man on a fade route. The quarterback's supposed to throw a fade route. Either your receiver catches it or the ball goes out of bounds. Yeah, so that's a safe shot. You could take that at any time in the game. I don't care what coverage they're in. It's safe. Like, your receiver's supposed to know, you know what, if I can't catch this, let me bat it or knock it down instead of us throwing an interception. I just think you need to take more of those shots. But I think the last two or three weeks, Jay has called good games. You know, yesterday is 3rd-and-1. You got AP playing pretty good. Your offensive line was kind of dominant in that game. And you go out with a 5-wide package. That's a questionable call, but it was a great call because Vernon dropped the ball. He was wide open, you know. So it was a great call on Jay's behalf. But as a running back, I want to see you. It's 3rd-and-1. We got two opportunities to pick up 1 yard. And if I got AP and can't get 1 yard and 2 carries, I got the wrong back, which we know AP can go out and get 1 yard and 2 carries.
Clinton Portis, always great. 3 cheers for CP segment. Hip, hip.
The hell with y'all.
That's we'll how that it goes. Hip, hip, the hell with y'all.
We'll do it again, 11:30 to noon next week, buddy, with Clinton Portis. Grant and Danny on the Fan, an NFL coach has been fired. You'll get that in the update in moments. And we will get to Charles Davis, 12:18 on the Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.